Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is quarter after six. Tommy's on vacation. I'm Bob Mitchell filling in for Tommy this morning. Well, let's go to Mike Dettillier, our WWL football expert. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bob. How you been?
I've been fine. Been on the couch a lot and taking it easy. Of course, watching that game yesterday, I thought, sure, I was going to go into AFib or something. I finally came up with what I think is a great name to describe the Saints' defense. The Hulk. Because you have to slap them around a little bit for a couple of scores. You beat them up a little bit, and then that's it. Then they take over.
It's an old John Facenda line. But great teams don't always play great. They play great when they have to.
And they do. Let's go over.
And you saw it yesterday. You know, they started out about as bad as you could get. And then they found their groove with it. And listen, Tennessee is not a pushover football team. They got some talent on that side. You know, they found a way to win. And sometimes when you don't play well, and you still win, that's the mark of a pretty doggone good football team.
Now, in watching yesterday, I've caught some of the recap on the game. A lot of injuries came out of this game. Is that correct?
They had a few injuries, but they went into it with a few injuries. Eli Apple went down in that football game, but you're without your starting offensive guards. And, boy, that sure was big early on in the football game. But yeah. Again, no one's healthy this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got injuries that they're dealing with.
Mike, let's go over one more time the playoff scenario. Who has to win, who doesn't have to win, and what are the results of now, we know that the Seahawks lost last night, so has that changed the results of anything at all?
Basically, what you got to have happen is you got to be pulling for the Vikings tonight to beat Green Bay. And Saints have to continue to win. Now, they got to win next week against Carolina, but a win tonight by the Vikings would really help you out there, because right now Green Bay has the better NFC record. So you want to capture that. But these three teams just kind of fighting it out for the top spot. And then next week, Sunday Night Football, Seattle plays San Francisco. And you got to pull for Seattle here.
All right. Now, if we know that if you are the number one seed, you get the week off. What about
number two seed, too?
So, technically, from playing games, one or two is acceptable.
Yeah. And listen, that's a pattern there. And you can go back over the last 4 or 5 years. That number one and number two seed has one of those two has gotten to Super Bowl Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
To play three games on the road, though technically you probably would have to, but or at least two of the games, is a tough road. We saw the Giants do it 1 year. They played three games on the road and ended up winning it all. So it's not impossible, but man, that home field advantage is so big. And that's why, you know, you got everybody kind of vying for those top two spots. Listen, even if you get in the number two spot and you got to play one game on the road, man, listen, this is the NFL.
Uh-huh.
We've seen a lot of bad football. Man, I hear people complaining today about this and that and everything. Man, all I know is, you know, this is a 12-win football team. People have gotten spoiled with a lot of things. You know, and so Sean's done a good job with this football team, getting him in a position where you could have one of the top two seeds. And I don't remember a lot of times over the last few years that you have three teams vying for the two spots. Well, basically, all sort of spinning it into that 12-3, you know, a 13-3 overall record. That's unusual.
It is 6:23. I'm Bob Mitchell in for Tommy Tucker this morning. We're talking to Mike Dettelier. If you have a question you'd like to ask Mike about the things, you can call me. I'll call him and I at 260-1870. You can text me at 870-870. And somehow I had a feeling, Mike, this question was going to come up. Why do the Saints continue to keep Eli Apple on the roster?
Well, yesterday he went down real early to an injury. So he didn't play a lot yesterday due to that injury. Again, you're playing him not because you're good friends with him. You're playing him because he's the best corner you have opposite Marshawn Lattimore right now. That's easy answer.
This time of the year, how important is roster depth?
Well, this is what you spend all that time from February through July trying to piece together. Because, Bob, you know that eventually you're going to get these injuries. And you're going to have to play these guys, not as backups, but as starters. And so you spend a lot of time thinking about it, on how you would, you know, manage if someone went down to an injury. This is why they were aggressive last week in picking up Janoris Jenkins, the cornerback, when he was cut loose by the Giants, and DJ Swearinger, the safety. So you're trying to build up as much depth as you can, because injuries is not a maybe thing. It's having to deal with it once you get it. So depth's very important this time of year. What you're trying to do is to find the right fit for your team. And that becomes even harder.
Michael Thomas, is there anything we can say about his greatness that has not been said? And have you ever seen a guy this good play this well? He just seems to be so tough. I've heard you talk from time to time about a player having soft hands. Well, he seems to have a hard body, and rarely does he miss a ball thrown his way. If he can get his hand on it, he's going to catch it.
It's about the work ethic, attention to detail, focus, how well he catches the ball. And you know that each game, he's going to have double coverage or bracket coverage in his area, and he finds a way to get open. That's the difference between a good player and a great player.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a great player can find a way to get himself open. He's got great rapport with Drew Brees, but it's his mindset. I mean, every day he challenges someone else about how good he is, and he shows up each and every week. And they had people locally that questioned, man, why the Saints are going to pay him all that money? These guys, once they get paid, they're never the same again. We don't get no calls like that no more about Michael Thomas. You know, again, everybody's the genius in the world. But listen, they got people that show you how good they are each and every week. Mike Thomas shows you how good he is each and every week. And money's not his motivator. He's motivated to be the very best he can be, and he's trying to get you a W each week. So that's the difference, you know, because, listen, I do think in this league there are guys that are playing for cash, and there are other guys playing because of the fact of how good they are. And they out to prove it to you each week how good they are.
Well, when he had that touchdown called back, I believe I knew, you knew, everyone in the stadium knew, every member of the Titans knew that next pass, that Drew Brees was going to throw it to Michael Thomas to get him that touchdown. And he did.
Ain't nothing you can do about it.
Right. I mean,
nothing. That's how helpless a feeling you have defensively. And you know what? We saw Jerry Rice in his prime. You knew that Montana and Young was going to get him the football. You know, it didn't take a rocket scientist for that, but it was to stop him. You know, and I'm not trying to put Mike in that class yet, but you sort of understand what that great player is, and you got one. And he is so motivated to be the very best and to help put wins up on the scoreboard for you. Man, isn't that the type of guy that you want in your football team?
I mean,
you'd love to have 53 like that. That's a little bit pie in the sky. But Thomas is just a fantastic football player, and what he's meant for this team. But a big part of it too is he fits so well into what the Saints offense does.
Well, listen, hang on. I'm going to go to news and would like to come back and talk to you a little bit more. Is that all right with you?
Sure enough.
I'm keeping him up late this morning. Usually this is where he goes gets his second nap in the morning. But anyway, we're going to go to Dave Cohen and more WWL First News. If you want to talk Saints football, you want to ask Mike a question, you want to text him a question, you can do it at 870-870 or call 260-1870. Bob Mitchell in for Tommy on WWL. 6:43, welcome back. Our Big 870, Blue Runner Gumbo Opinion Poll. If the football genie came down and said, we'd get some good calls on this one, Mike, some good responses. If you could choose just one, the Saints winning the Super Bowl or LSU winning the national championship, which would you choose? I won't put you on the spot, but what do you think is leading the poll right now?
I would think LSU winning the national championship.
No, I would have thought that too. 63% say the Saints winning the Super Bowl. 37% say LSU in the national championship.
Well, LSU fans haven't woken up yet. That's the reason that poll is in that in favor.
I think you're right. Let me read just a couple of questions that some people have texted me, and you can pick which ones you want to answer or which ones you know about. Will Von Bell make it back in time for the playoffs? Is Janoris, is that how you pronounce this guy's name?
Janoris Jenkins, yes.
Is he the starter from now on, and why do you see Robinson taking Apple's place even if he's healthy?
I think with Patrick Robinson, who really played well yesterday, you brought him in here to be the nickelback. That was the spot for him, and he did a great job when the Eagles won the Super Bowl a few years back. Brought him in here, broke the ankle last year. His play had been sort of a rocky road, but I thought yesterday he really played well. And so we'll see how that combination at cornerback all works out. All I know with Janoris Jenkins, he's never been a bench warmer in his life, from high school to college to the pros. Yesterday, you just bringing him in, you understood why he wasn't heavily involved, but I think he's going to see a lot of playing time now. Jenkins is a player. He's a gambler now. You know, he'll take chances out on the field, but he's a guy that's got a lot of skins on the wall as an NFL player. So I think you're going to see a lot of Janoris Jenkins. How it works out, which one's the starter, which one's not, we'll let the coaching staff figure that one out. But Pat Robinson, P-Rob, I mean, hit. His real spot is inside as a slot cover cornerback. Von Bell, the hope is that he can be back for the playoffs, because I think Von's one heck of a football player. And I think he's the best of the safeties this football team has. Now, I will give Chauncey Gardner-Johnson a lot of kudos. I mean, he's come in here and he's made a big impact, especially in run support. Mm-hmm. He's done an excellent job in that. And yesterday, man, he really put a shot on a Titans receiver on a catch that he made and jarred the ball free from him, which set up a score for the Saints. So Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's done a really good job, but Von Bell is a really, really good football player, and the hope is he'll be back come playoff time.
I was reading this morning earlier online about that hit that caused the fumble, and basically they're saying the Saints got away with a helmet-to-helmet hit.
And listen, the Saints don't get away with nothing in this league. Not the way the calls have went their way. What did you want him to do at that spot? He was trying to jar the ball loose. So it's funny how fans from another team will squawk about a bad call, but when the Saints fans squawked about it, oh, well, you just got to accept it. So, you know, hey, listen, it is what it is. But that was no dirty hit on that play. He went to jar the ball loose, and that's exactly what he did. But it's funny how it's the shoe's on the other foot that it's not quite the same, isn't it?
Well, and sometimes when you're watching these plays, the ball carrier will
he lowers his head.
He lowers his head, and you know the tackler is shooting for one spot, and the ball carrier lowers his head. Well, who do you blame for that?
This is football. It's a violent game, and there are going to be helmet-to-helmet hits. Guys not even trying to do it.
Right.
Because of the speed of the games, it's the same way sometimes you got to look twice to make sure it's not a shoulder and a helmet. So, you know, those things equal out after a period of time. But, man, if anybody thinks the Saints get away with anything in this league, you haven't been watching many Saints games.
Do you find just in general that the officials seem to be calling more and more? I mean, some of these penalties are just nitpicking. You know, are they being told, don't give anyone any slack? And one other thing, it looks like to me that different crews, I was watching the game last night, and it did not look like the crew that was officiating the game threw as many penalties as the guys who were calling the Saints and the Titans.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Certain crews are notorious for wanting the airtime. I mean, they throw much more flags than others. And so, yeah, that's why you sort of scout the refereeing crews and see what they do one way or another. And so you sort of know it when you get that crew assigned to you, which one of them is going to kind of let you play and which one of them is get their cookies off, so to speak, throwing flags. And Bogus crew, I mean, he's notorious for that, his crew for throwing flags. And we certainly saw it yesterday. Man, it was flag day. I mean, the Saints, and most of them were legit now, I will say. What, it was 9 penalties in the first half?
Yes.
I know one thing. If anything raises the ire of Sean Payton is that. It's one thing to make a mistake out on the field, but, man, these constant penalties drove him up the wall, and a lot of it was offensive line penalties. And, again, this stuff about next man up, and I know it does have to happen. You found out yesterday what next man up means. Just look at that offensive guard play in the first half of that game. Man, they were coming in there left and right. There was one penalty after another. So you go to appreciate why that guy is starting over the next guy.
Mike, I got to take a traffic break. Well, when we come back, one of our listeners has a question about that fake punt that the Saints tried. Coming right back on the Big 870 WWL, I'm Bob Mitchell in for Tommy Tucker. Welcome back. 6:55, 5 minutes before 7 o'clock. Of course, we're talking about that great Saints game yesterday. Mike Dettillier, one of our listeners, texted me this question. Why did Sean Payton put a tight end in on the fake punt? Who was that guy anyway?
Justin Hardy is a cornerback safety on the team. But he's a former wide receiver. He played wide receiver in high school, played wide receiver at Illinois. And so, you know, you practice this, you know, in the practice sessions. It wasn't a tight end. It was a defensive back in Justin. He made a mistake that when you teach somebody how to catch a football, you teach them not to do it this way. You got to catch it with your hands. You can't let the ball get up against your body. And he let that ball get right up against his body. It hit him in his body, his helmet, everywhere else. But it was a perfectly executed play other than the catch. So Justin Hart, he wasn't a fake tight end deal. This was a guy who has been a special teamer for the Saints, but has worked a lot at wide receiver throughout his high school and college career. He just dropped it. It was an out-and-out drop. You can't let the ball get up against your body.
But when I saw the ball coming in and I saw his hands get on the ball, I start screaming, he's got it, yeah, and I'm just jumping up and down. And my wife looks at me and she said, he dropped the ball. Oh.
Yeah, listen, you couldn't ask for it to be drawn up better than what they did. And Taysom threw the football right on the mark. But come on, you got to catch it with your hands. You can't let that ball get into your body, because when that happens, I'm just telling you, 9 chances out of 10, it's going down to the ground. You're not making that reception.
Mike, have you ever seen a player play like Taysom Hill?
I can't recall at the NFL level a guy that can do that many things for your football team, especially at quarterback. Because normally those guys, they're not going to be running with the football, running with abandon, playing on special teams, doing the sort of things he does. Here's the crazy thing about Taysom Hill. As reckless as he is as a runner, and man, listen, he's all out abandon on every play. He was hurt every year at Brigham Young at quarterback. Every year he had an injury. And you could understand it because of the way he plays. And yet, in the pros, man, he's been healthy. So it's quite a scene to see him do that, because of the fact he gives you some oomph when you need it. If it's on special teams, it's as a runner. We saw him as a receiver yesterday throwing the football. He's a unique football player. And he's a real good one, too.
And it all started because he wanted to get on the field and went to Coach Payton and said, look, I like football. Put me in on special teams. And not too many guys volunteer to be on special teams.
Well, put it to you this way, the list is even shorter if it's at quarterback.
Mike, we have a minute left. Give me a 30-second capsule on the Saints' chance of actually getting to be the number one seed.
Well, listen, you just got to win. You can't worry about what someone else has to do for you. You take care of business Sunday against the Panthers, and however the cards fall, they fall. But you just continue to win, because that's the most important thing. And then sometimes you got to get a little help from somebody else. But continue to win.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it so
much. Thank you, brother.
All right. That was Mike Dettillier.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.